Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. Your order of service is found printed in your bulletin. Our hymns this morning will all be found in the Lutheran service book. We begin our service with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, we are glad and thankful to be here this morning to honor you and to receive blessing from your holy word. Be with us in our worship and bless our fellow worshipers and us for your mercy's sake. Teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to flee temptation and to honor you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 729. Worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, we take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May God, who has begun this work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may always be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this fifth Sunday in Epiphany is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Paul's words here are words that every preacher should emulate, coming to his congregation not with words of man's wisdom, but with the power and wisdom of God, Christ in him crucified. Paul writes, And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We read as a responsive psalm this morning, selected verses of Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be ashamed.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him.
God.
Our gospel reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 11. We'll read verses 27 through 30. Glory to you, O Lord. These words of Jesus remind us of the season that we are in, the season of the church year of Epiphany. It's a word that means to reveal. Through Jesus, God himself is revealed to us. And we see in his words that Jesus himself is true God and true man. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed printed on page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 575. Thank you.
Please rise.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has already won the race for us and through him makes us conquerors, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Philippians chapter 3. We'll read verses 12 through 16. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, and he writes, Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here it is, the first sermon. There's usually a lot of anticipation, even some excitement for the first sermon of the new pastor, isn't there? There is obviously some excitement and anticipation on my end as well. I would also say probably a little bit of anxiety. What's he going to be like? Who is this new guy? What's he going to sound like? What's his preaching style going to be like? Oh man, I hope he's not boring. Or long-winded, or both. Is he going to screw up? Well, as you might guess, the first sermon is a very highly anticipated event, even for the pastor. You want to make a good impression in the pulpit? You want the word of God that you're addressing your congregation with to come across clearly, but also for it to be understandable, and if possible, also interesting. I want to do it concisely, yet completely. And of course, I don't want to screw up. Well, we might as well get this right out of the way to begin with, but I'm not perfect. You already knew that. Good, good. So I can let you in on this other fact that you might already know. I am going to screw things up from time to time. In fact, I've had a few screw-ups this week. Some minor, some a little less than minor. If you ask Chris how many bulletin trials we went through and how many messed up bulletins are in the recycling bin, you'd probably be surprised at how many we went through. There's nothing like your first week in a new place, doing lots of things for the first time, trying to figure these things out, things you've been doing, actually, in other places for quite a few years, that makes you feel a lot like this is your very first week in the ministry. That's a good thing in a way, isn't it? Sure, there's going to be some awkwardness. There's going to be some adjustment time. There's going to be a lot of extra work getting used to a new situation, a new area, a new ministry. There's going to be some awkwardness in getting to know each other, getting to know how to work together, what goes where, what goes how. But really, we do have a great opportunity together, don't we? You and I, we have a great opportunity right now because most of you don't even know me. And those of you who do know me, I've never been your pastor before, so you don't know how that is going to go, and you don't know what that's like at all. As far as you know, I could be the greatest pastor who ever lived. You don't know. You don't know some of my bad habits. You don't know some of my quirks, my hang-ups, my frustrations, the mistakes, the failures I've had in my past. And so this time, right now, is a God-given opportunity for me to fix some of those bad habits, one of them being making air quotes, to fix some of those bad habits, to improve on some of those things I may have not done so well in the past, and to grow as both a pastor and as a follower of Christ. In much the same way, I don't know many of you. And those of you I do know, I have never been your pastor. I don't know what it's like to be your pastor yet. So as far as you know, or as far as I know, you are a very faithful member. You're the most faithful and helpful member this church has ever seen. As far as I know, you are here every Sunday. You're willing to help whenever you're needed. You're willing to serve the Lord with all the gifts and abilities that He's given you. I don't know if your attendance has been good or bad. I don't know if your attitude toward worship and God's Word has always been what it should be, or if you've always served to the best of your ability and been as available as you could be. So at this time, right now, you have a God-given opportunity to fix some of those bad habits, to improve on some of the things that maybe did not go so well in the past as a member of this congregation and as a follower of Christ. So we've got clean slates with each other. You and I don't have a history together. We don't have a scorecard full of times that we've wronged each other, hurt each other, pushed each other's buttons. I don't even know what your buttons are yet. You don't know what mine are. Times we failed each other or harmed each other in various ways. In many ways, that makes it easy to move forward together, doesn't it? But most importantly, we all have clean slates with God Himself. Clean slates because of the sacrifice His Son made on that cross of Calvary. Full, free, complete forgiveness for all of our past failures, our mistakes, our bad habits, our screw-ups, even for those deep, dark, ugly sins. Those ones that we want to keep buried deep in the basement of our hearts and don't want anyone to see. Maybe I should say in the garage of your hearts. I've noticed they don't have basements here in California. Buried deep in the garage of your heart that you don't want anyone to see. And yet, even those sins have been washed clean. Doesn't that make it much easier to move forward together? This is similar to what the Apostle Paul is writing about in our text for this morning when he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." You want to talk about someone with a past? Think about the Apostle Paul. In his own words, he wrote this down in the Scriptures through inspiration of the Holy Spirit for everyone to read to the end of time. He persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Those are Paul's words from Galatians 1:13. That's what Paul did before he became a believer. Now, Paul was even far from perfect even after he was converted and became an apostle of Christ, became a pastor, and Paul knew it. He writes in the very first verse of our text, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Paul is speaking there about running the race of the Christian life. We can see that finish line ahead of us. We can see the prize. We can see it's already been won for us through Jesus. Heaven is there waiting for us because of what Jesus did. Eternal life with Him and all believers. But God still has had a race for Paul to finish on this earth. And when you run a race, it's not a good idea to turn around and look back. You'll probably fall over or go the wrong way. So Paul did not spend time looking back. He didn't look back at the good things. He didn't look back with pride at the things he accomplished as an apostle or a pastor and pat himself on the back and say, "I did a really great job back there in Ephesus," or wherever he traveled to and preached. He also didn't spend time looking back with regret, to wallow in doubt and sorrow over past sins, which have already been washed away in the blood of Jesus. No, Paul says he forgot about those past things and pressed on each day to grow in his faith, to live a more Christ-like life, and to serve Jesus in more and better ways. You and I, like the Apostle Paul, have a race to run in this life. And God has chosen, beginning this day, for us to run that race together as pastor and members, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's go. Let's run. Let's run together. It's more fun to run that way anyway. As I was walking into church this morning, I happened to notice a poster about a run-a-thon. And one of the little cartoon caricatures of two of the teachers shows them near the finish line, and they're holding hands running together. They look really, really happy. It's just a picture. It's not actually what they look like when they cross the finish line, I'm sure. But think of that thought, running together, and how much more enjoyable, how much better it is, and how much more encouragement you can have when you run this race together. Let's forget what lies behind, the sins, the baggage we've been carrying, the hurts, the offenses, the obstacles that have been keeping us from serving the Lord with all that is within us. And let's press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to tell you that this race can be a pretty rough course. We have to press on with persistence. It can be a very long race. And at times, the going is going to be a lot slower than we'd like it to be. We need to press on with patience. We also need to press on with pardoning. We're going to take some wrong turns. We're going to mess up. We're going to hurt each other sometimes. We need to be pardoning toward each other. And also, remember, the Lord Himself has pardoned us. Most importantly, we need to focus on the finish line. Focus on the goal. We need to focus on the one who has already finished that race for us. A race He ran with us here on this earth. A race He won. We need to focus on Jesus. Listen to these words from the book of Hebrews. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I am optimistic about the race that we're going to be running together. I'm excited about the race that we're going to be running together and the things the Lord is going to accomplish through us running together. I hope that you are optimistic and excited too. But let's make sure to keep our focus always where it needs to be. I'm not perfect. You aren't either. I'm not a miracle worker. And as far as I know, none of you are either. But again, I don't know you. So maybe you are. But I do know the one who is. And you do too. Focus on Him. Focus on Jesus. See in His cross His limitless and everlasting love for you. See in His ugly wounds your beautiful and complete healing. See in that cross your slate wiped completely clean because of the forgiveness His shed blood bought you. See in Jesus' resurrection your finish line and the eternal life in heaven that Jesus has waiting for you because He rose and guarantees that life for you as well. And let's press on toward that finish line, one step at a time, one day at a time, pressing on, moving forward, focusing on Jesus. He's given us work to do, a good deal of work to do, a privilege and a responsibility that involves the eternal souls of our fellow man. He's given us a race to run together, focused on Jesus. So let's go. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. This time we take an offering of our thankful hearts to our Lord. We offer our prayers up to our Father's throne. There have been a couple of prayer requests. Are there any other prayer requests to add to the list this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, we come to you with special prayers this morning for Mitch Arillo. Dear Lord, Mitch begins his week of intense SEAL training, a week they call Hell Week. We ask you, Lord, to be with him, to keep him safe. And if it's your will, Lord, give him the stamina and the strength to complete it. We also pray, Lord, for Wayne Bliss's brother, Jack. His older brother passed away this week. We're grateful and thankful to you for the blessed life you gave to him, for the family and friends and all that you provided for him, and the blessing that he was to so many. Most of all, Lord, we're grateful for your grace in making him your child by bringing him to faith in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In your wisdom, Lord, you have chosen to relieve him from his illnesses and all his earthly pains by summoning him home from this life to be with you in the heavenly mansions you have prepared for him. We rejoice that he is now sharing the eternal joys of heaven with his Savior, Jesus, and all believers who have gone before him. Dear Lord, we are also saddened by the loss of Jack from this life and pray that you be with his family, comfort them and his loved ones, especially be with his closest family members, be their comfort and their peace. And use the message of your resurrection to remind them that because you live, he will live also, and we will be with him and all believers on heaven's glorious shore. Sustain and keep all of us in saving faith in you, our risen and living Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus, we praise you for revealing yourself to us in your word as our Savior, our friend, and our shepherd. We ask for your blessings upon these congregations, on our school, and on our shared ministries in this dual parish. We ask you, Lord, to help us to press on and run together in unity, bonded by your love and your word for the advancement of your gospel and your kingdom and to the glory of your saving name. Bless our students and our teacher with willing hearts and minds to learn and to teach, especially to teach the one thing needful, your holy word. Bless me with the strength, the ability, and the stamina to serve this joint parish you have called me to, and help me to remember to lean on you and to turn to you for all things. Bless our members with the renewed willingness and zeal to hear and learn from your word, to apply it to our lives, and share it with others. Help us all to use our gifts, our time, and the treasures you have given us to encourage growth in your body, the church. Bless all those among us who have needs or need your special care, any who are weak or sick, any who are hurting or in need of any kind, Lord. We ask you to hear them and heal them. Forgive us for the indifference and shallowness that so often characterizes our faith. Forgive all the times we have abused your saving grace, as well as every instance of neglecting your word and sacraments. Forgive us, Lord, and correct us. To the praise and glory of your name, we ask these things, dear Savior. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 662. Rise. We continue on the top of page 8 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
it is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name, we pray these things, and we now pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take our sin of the world away. Oh, Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, true
time, we respectfully ask those who are communicant members of this congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession come forward at the direction of the ushers to receive communion. Those wanting additional information about our communion practices are invited to speak with me after our worship service. During the distribution, we'll be singing our communion hymn, hymn 622.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. We'll continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 11.
Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 537.
Beautiful Savior, he is.
Good morning. Do that with the grade school kids, too, and they're a little bit quicker to respond than you guys. Welcome to those of you who are visitors. A warm welcome from our congregation. If you would please sign our guest book in the entryway, we invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for this week. Friday, we'll have our Board of Education meeting, and we'll be meeting at the Harillo residence at 6:30. Again, that's Friday. Next Sunday, our worship service and Bible class will be at their new usual times, 8:45 for Bible class and worship service at 10. Obviously, after the service, I'll be leaving shortly to go to St. Stephen's East Bay with worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible class at 2. You'll see that we have extended a call to our second teacher, Ms. Heidi Radke. Messiah Eau Claire has also extended her a call to teach grades 3 and 4 in her school, so we pray for the Lord's will to be done in her life and in our school as well. Another note of thanks to all of you for all your help my first week here with the move-in, with the gifts, and everything you did for me to make me feel welcomed and help me adjust very quickly in a lot of ways. The most important ways, adjusted very quickly to the new area, to the new house I'm living in, and to the new congregation and school. So many thanks. I can't say it enough to you. I do plan on contacting everyone in our two congregations, our group down in Pasadena, and also the school parents and families. And if you'd like, also to have a visit with you in the coming weeks and months. If you know of a day or time that works well, please let me know. Right now, my cell phone is the only phone that can reach me. The Parsonage phone has not been installed yet, and it's going to be installed probably not until next week, is what AT&T is telling me. So please reach me on my cell phone, or my email is the best way to get a hold of me right now. And just one more announcement that didn't have room in the bulletin, and it's about the bulletin. Any comments, suggestions, or corrections that need to be made in the bulletin, please let me know. This is my first go-around with this software and this order of service, so we'll have a learning curve together. But I do appreciate your responses and your input on the bulletin and orders of service. Any other announcements I'm forgetting this morning? We've got a couple of hands here. Pastor Ryan, would you like to go first?
I just want to say
sure.
I've so much appreciated your ability to take what is existing and available and putting it together in a fashion that is so fresh, and yet the service order and everything with it was beautifully adapted. So thank you for that and your work that you're about to do.
Thank you. A big thanks also to Chris Holt. He went through what I would refer to as bulletin purgatory with me on Thursday. You think running together is a lot more fun? Going through bulletin purgatory is a lot better with someone else with you. So it was a little bit of a rough go, but we got it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Paul, you had an announcement.
Yeah, I have a couple things. First of all, just a note of acknowledgement from Heidi Radke, who we extended a call to. She writes, "Dear members of St. Stephen, I have received a call to teach in school. I pray that the Lord would lead me to do what is best in his kingdom for his little children. I ask also for your prayers during this time as I consider this most important calling. Yours in Christ, Heidi Radke." The other thing is our treasurer has requested that we have a brief council meeting following the service so we can gather real quickly to do that, to talk about some financial questions.
Any other announcements? He covered it? Okay. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.